the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all.
Try that again. Good morning, Bridge at St. Paul's. There's enough buttons to press these days to be ready to roll, but welcome to the bridge at St. Paul's here in Muskego, Wisconsin, beaming out to, well, the world, really, telling the truth about Jesus as Savior, inviting Him into our lives through faith in Him. We invite you and to be a part of worship today and are grateful that you are with us. On this June 21st, the heels of the longest day of the year, I'll let you ponder that, but also today is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all dads who are here in person or worshiping with us online today. Some things to share with you in-house, first of all, as we talk about how you can connect with us and help establish community with us through St. Paul's and the Bridge. Sally Wallner is our Facebook host today for our Bridge worship. Feel free to reach out to her through that live Facebook format. You can also reach out to me as host pastor. We'll get to that in a moment with a few more things to share with you. Coming up in St. Paul's ministry is the Global Leadership Summit on August 6th and 7th. Whether you know it or not, you are an influencer, which is a great definition for leadership. So be a part of growing in leadership in ministry for Jesus as you be a part of the simulcast here at St. Paul's August 6th and 7th, the Global Leadership Summit. Pastor Pete is in charge of our small group connections here at St. Paul's, and if you'd like to be part of an online group through the Zoom platform online, feel free to contact Pastor Pete and connect, even to start your own group, Zoom ministry. If you would like to become a St. Paul's partner to help take the gospel of Jesus Christ to our world, feel free to reach out to me for Following the Promise. The next class will begin soon. I'm in the middle of one right now, and it's an online review of Scripture, a way to be a member at St. Paul's when you're done, but Following the Promise, a great opportunity to dive into the Word. And then if you are interested in 3K through 8th grade Christian education for your child or for your grandchildren, Seth Fitzsimmons is our principal of that educational ministry. He'd love to hear from you. S. Fitzsimmons at stpmuskego.org, and he can give you all the information that you need. We also have, coming up a week from today, a young adult online event put on by Awake and Alive for 18 to 25-year-olds, 6:30 p.m. Mike Wessendorf will be facilitating that discussion next week. Go online and check that out and see if that fits your calendar a week from today. And if you need to talk, our four pastors here at St. Paul's are available to you. Our information's on the screen. You can call the office number and leave a message on any of our voicemails, and it comes directly to us as an email to connect with you. And then if you would like to be a supporter of this online ministry and of the ministry at the Bridge, go to stpaulmuskego.org/give, and there are ways, directions on there how to give right through our website or texting to give or on Facebook. So check that out as well to help support this ministry. And now, on the screen before you are the four songs that are coming your way, brought to us by our band this morning as we switch over to in-person worship as well, getting the crowd connected to you at home. So you're aware of the songs that are coming. Pastor Pete is our message bringer. Mike Wessendorf is the leader of the band today. And I'm going to bring Pastor Pete on board to introduce us to worship thoughts for the day.
Hey, thank you so much, Nate. Good morning out there online. Good morning here in the Trinity Gym, the Bridge. It's great to see you all here in worship. Today we are beginning a study about time. One of the greatest gifts that you can give somebody is time. If you're wondering, what should I give my mom or my dad? The answer is always give them time. And today we're going to be looking at how the Lord has given us time and He invites us to spend time with Him. So let's spend some time with Him as we worship our Savior God. And I'll turn it back over to the band and Mike, and let us worship our Savior.
Hey, good morning, Bridge. Good morning. Wonderful to have you guys here, both in person, in the house, and also to all of you guys who are online. Again, grateful to be able to do both. And we are committed long-term to be able to continue to learn how to build online community as well. And so if you have been wondering and would like to visit, there is room here. We're socially distanced. There's a nice air handling system that helps kind of move the air so you guys can sing. along with us and shout out the praises of our Lord. And Pastor Pete, as he said, is going to be leading us today. As we begin, I'm going to actually step off. We're going to give one of these young guys a chance to lead us in worship, a song that we've sung here many times called All My Fountains. How many of y'all know that? Make some noise. Awesome. So I'm going to expect that we'll be able to clap along and be loud. And then where are we? Which camera are we on here? Are we on the center one? Why don't you guys all stand up real quick? And what I'd love for you guys to do is everybody turn around to that center camera over there. And everybody who else is online, we're going to say good morning, Bridge. One, two, three.
You're strong like a river.
Bridge is in the house, y'all. God is in this house, y'all. That was awesome. That was a big amen right there. Let me try this again. Jesus loves you. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song called My Victory as a place, a starting point for our hearts as Pastor Pete leads us in our message. And we've sung it here any number of times. And just a reminder of what it is that we've been given, what God has given us in a world that is fractured in our own hearts and in a world. And again, just the news cycles, it was hard before when COVID, but now you've got everything in your face, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just to keep coming back to God's word. And anytime that we get dismayed, look to the end of the Bible. Be reminded that in Christ, we've already won. And in Christ, we have the victory that he gives us. Amen?
Amen.
We'll stand and we'll sing this song. It's clear to me.
Makes us alive again.
Hey friends, it is great to see you here in the house at the Bridge. And for those of you who are online, from Boston to Alaska and everywhere in between, it is great to have you worshiping with us today. It is a privilege that you are going to be spending some time with us. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today, is spend time with the Lord who has spent time with you. You know, over the last week, several of us on staff have been trying to better understand our culture that is around us, and so we've been watching a series called The African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross. And one of the things that struck me was back in the days of slavery, slaves were most often called just one name to dehumanize them, that they didn't deserve a full name. And to some degree, I think that happens in many people's religious lives as well, that they have de-godified God by simply using the term God. No, there's nothing wrong with God. God is used in Genesis chapter 1. It is a term that emphasizes God's power and majesty. But God is also used just to refer to all the various gods in the world. It is a generic term, like just a first name. So it comes as no surprise that as Moses begins the real story of the Bible, he introduces God's personal name. You see, Genesis chapter 1 that we've looked at for the last couple of weeks is really just a prologue, just setting the stage. Yes, we see God's incredible power at work as he speaks the word and the world is created in 6 days. But the real story about the Bible is not God's power. It's God's love. And that's why as Moses begins the 10 histories that are recorded in Genesis, the 10 accounts, he begins by introducing another name for God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the heavens and the earth." Lord God. This is the Hebrew word. It is most often in English translated Lord with all capital letters. That's been the tradition for over 400 years. But there's something special about that name, the Lord. It emphasizes God's love. Moses was introduced to this personal name of God in Exodus chapter 3 when he receives his call into ministry. You might recall Moses is out in the desert and he sees this bush that is on fire but doesn't burn up, and he goes and sees what this miraculous sign is, and the Lord speaks to him from the bush, and he asks the Lord, you know, when I go back to the Israelites in Egypt, who should I say sent me? And this was the Lord's response. He said, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. I am who I am is the way God speaks about himself. That's his personal name. But when you and I talk about him, then we would have to say he is who he is. And this four letters in Hebrew, the Lord in all capital letters, is the Hebrew for he is. He is who he is. God says, I am who I am. Now, what does that mean? He is who he is. Well, I am not who I am. I am partially who you make me to be. You know, if I see that you're paying attention, I'm impacted by that. If I see you falling asleep, I'm impacted by that, right? See, I am not independent of you. I am dependent on you, but God is. I am who I am. He is who he is. He is absolutely independent. And he is unchanging. He is who he is. I am not unchanging. You know, I'm going to be baptizing a five-year-old on Friday. His grandma just came to worship for the very first time at our church last week. Yeah, it's kind of exciting. And he is turning six in just a couple of days. And I said, oh, my birthday is coming up too, and I'm going to turn six too. And he didn't believe me, just like you don't, because I am not. I am who I am. I am not unchanging. Everybody knows that. We all change, and especially our emotions change, right? So this marvelous name, I am who I am, or we say he is who he is, emphasizes that he is independent and unchanging. And that's true of all of God's characteristics. But as God was explaining this name to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, the key thought was his love is independent and unchanging. You see, as Moses begins to tell the story of what the Bible is really all about, he introduces this name of God that reassures us, independent love. His love for you doesn't depend on whether you've been a good boy or a good girl today. He loves you because of who he is. And he is unchanging. His love is unchanging. So if he loved you on Good Friday when he died for you, if he loves you today, he'll love you on the day that you die. Right? Unchanging. So, this whole idea of God's name helps you understand why there are two creation accounts, too. You know, there are Bible critics who say, well, wait a second, there's the 6 days of creation in Genesis chapter 1, and then there's another creation account in Genesis chapter 2. Why so? But what Moses is doing is saying, I'm just laying the groundwork here in Genesis chapter 1. The real story, you have to blow up chapters, the sixth day to see what is really at the heart and core of the sixth day. The heart and core of the sixth day is love. So what I want to do is I want to just walk through what happened on that sixth day so that you and I appreciate the time the Lord spent with Adam and Eve. And then to recognize, you know what? The Lord spent that kind of time with each of us too. So first of all, the Lord spent time forming Adam and Eve. It says in verse 7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So he creates Adam first. He forms him from the dust of the ground, kind of like all of these pots that are up here. These pots were all made by our children. And each one of them is unique and different. So Moses tells us that God shaped us. He formed us kind of like a pot out of the ground. That's what he did for Adam, and breathed into that lifeless body the breath of life. Well, that's great for Adam. But he did it for you and me too. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to show some verses up on the screen, and I'm going to read until it gets to the yellow, and then I want you to read along with me. Here at the bridge and online too. So look at this. This is from Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Please join me now. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You see, what God did for Adam, he spent time forming Adam right into the shape that he wanted Adam to be. Guess what? God's done that for you too. The Lord, the Savior God, this God of love says, I care about you so much that I formed you just exactly into the shape that you have. And it's just interesting that as science begins to understand our personalities and our strengths more, you know, you can take these personality tests, you know, I'm an ENFP, you can take strengths tests, you know, and what are your strengths, are you strategic, are you a wooer? All that is just helping you appreciate that God made each one of us, he shaped each one of us uniquely. The Lord has shown that kind of love for you. He has spent time on you because he cares for you, just like he did Adam and Eve. And then, as the account goes on, it says that God planted a garden in the east in Eden. The Lord God planted a garden in the east in Eden. There he put the man he had formed. The Lord spent time with Adam and Eve. He said, you know what? I just built this perfect world that I've just said is all very good, but I'm going to make a special place for my child that I have just formed to live, a garden, the Garden of Eden. That's true for you and me too. You know, every once in a while I think, why is it that my ancestors moved to Redwood Falls, Minnesota? To, you know, that's my ancestral home. Was it an accident? Nah. That was the place that God wanted them to be. And where you are right now, that's the place where the Lord God wants you to be too. He has spent time with you planning out where he wants you to live and to be. The Apostle Paul talks about that in Acts chapter 17 as he's in Athens and he's talking to the Athenians, and he says, the Lord God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And please join with me. He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. You see, the Lord who spent time with Adam and Eve and just said, I care about you so much that I'm going to make this marvelous place for you. He's done that for you and me too. It's no accident that you are here at this point in history, and where you live and what you're doing, this is all part of God's plan. Again, Psalm 139 said, all the days ordained for us were written in his book before one of them came to be. The Lord has spent time on you, just like he did Adam and Eve. As you go on in Genesis chapter 2, we're told what he gave Adam and Eve to do. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. So, the Lord God cares about Adam and Eve so much that he also gives them, even before Eve is created, meaningful work to do. I'm going to give you this work to carry out. And why was it special that Adam and Eve worked in the Garden of Eden? Because the Lord gave that work to them. And he gave them a way to say thank you back to him. Just don't eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's how you can show your love back to me. And that's true for you and me too. We too have experienced the Lord's spending time on us, giving us meaningful work to do. First of all, let's read this portion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul wrote, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Oh! So God gave Adam and Eve one command, don't eat of that tree. He's given us 10, right? The 10 commandments and lots of others. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, ultimately. Everything that we do has meaning. Every interaction that we have has meaning because it is not just done for somebody else, it is done for the Lord. Just like the service that Adam and Eve would have given in the Garden of Eden would have been done for the Lord. That's the gift that he is giving to you too. In fact, I love this comment that Jesus made. If anyone gives, join with me, even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who believe in me, truly I tell you, that person will not lose their reward. Something as simple as going and getting somebody a drink of water of infinite value and worth. You know, sometimes the devil wants us to think that what we're doing has no value. What a lie. The Lord has spent time on you and said, I'm going to give you meaningful things to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. The Lord has spent time on you and has given you meaningful work, whether it's at your place of work, in your home, in the classroom. It has great meaning because you are doing it not for just somebody else, but you are doing it for the Lord who loves and cares for you. As the account goes on, then that's where God helps Adam recognize that even in this perfect world, there is something not good. And so he creates Eve from Adam's rib. It was not good that the man be alone. The Lord spent time with Adam to help him understand that there was something missing, that he needed the gift of companionship. And during this whole safer at home time when we've been distanced. I think we appreciate all the more that we need this whole idea of companionship. The Lord, who spent time with Adam, has also spent time with you. And he wants to give you the gift of companionship. Now, I'm not narrowing this gift of companionship down just to the husband-wife relationship that was there in Genesis chapter 2. Ultimately, our God wants to give that gift to every one of us. In the Psalms, it says that our God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. The Lord God has spent time with you and said, I know what you need, and I am going to bring people into your life. And it's just interesting that this was coming up when I got an interesting message from one of my friends that I have never met, but I'm sure she's watching online right now. Hi, Michelle in Boston. She asked, hey, I'm a part of the family of the Bridge, but I can't be in a family of small group believers in person. Could we have a Zoom Bible study? And I went, I bet there's more. So if you are feeling lonely, if you don't have somebody who is talking to you, somebody that you can talk about your Savior with, somebody that can encourage you, somebody that you can just be honest with, to read the Bible together with, that's what small groups are. And it doesn't, the magic doesn't start right away, but let me tell you, our small group, I've been in our small group for probably 4 years, and we've helped carry each other through some really tough times. So if you're not in a group of a family of believers that will encourage you, email me. Let's get people connected, because it is our God's desire to set the lonely in families. Now, this last one, that God spent time with Adam and Eve, is one that I've been looking forward to sharing with you. I've been telling my family, yesterday we had our get-together as a family, and I told them they'd all be kind of creeped out, so just forewarning you. You see, right at the end of Genesis chapter 2, it says, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. You didn't have to say ew. She said ew, just for those of you who are online and didn't hear it. What a marvelous gift, the gift of being without shame. That's what Adam and Eve had. Because even though they were both naked, that their focus wasn't on each other and what I could get out of somebody else. Their focus was on the Lord. And I just want to say that, you know what? I feel really comfortable that I could strip naked up here and feel absolutely no shame. If I had the guarantee that all your attention was focused on that cross up there, if your focus was only on the cross, then you wouldn't see me. And what I wore would be unimportant. I could feel no shame. But I'll be honest, I don't even trust the camera people who are my friends. So I'm going to keep all my clothes on just to put your mind at ease. But this whole idea, how the devil wants us to feel incredible shame, and we feel shame because we compare ourselves with other people. You see, this pot that was shaped, it's not quite as nice as these. Two different children made them. My wife has all four of them sitting on the coffee table. because they're all precious because of who made them. She doesn't compare one to the other. Our problem is so often we compare each other. We compare ourselves with each other. We compare how we are formed. We compare whether, you know, we have a meaningful job to do or not. We compare our job with somebody else. We compare where we live, our houses, with other people. We compare our relationships with other people. No wonder we feel shame. The Lord spent time with Adam and Eve to give them this marvelous gift of being without shame. Just focus on me. And that's a gift that the Lord wants to give to us too. Let's read this passage together from Colossians chapter 2. In Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Fullness is the idea that if I have Jesus, I have everything that I need. If all of my focus is on Jesus, if I recognize that the way I am formed and shaped, my personality, my strengths, my body, this is what God has given me. I'm just going to focus on my Savior God and His love for me. Then I'm not going to compare myself with others. I have everything that I need. If I recognize that where I live is a gift from my marvelous Savior, that all my focus is on Christ, if I have Him, I have everything, then I don't have to be ashamed as I compare my life with somebody else, my work, how well I live my Christian life, my family life. The Lord, the Savior God, the God of independent and unchanging love, spent time with Adam and Eve to give them marvelous gifts. And He has spent time giving you and me those exact same gifts in Christ. And now He just invites us, upon whom He has spent time, to spend time with Him. This is really where Adam and Eve messed up. They were too busy to spend time with the Lord who had spent time with them. They had other things to do. They had to try to get ahead. They couldn't depend on the Lord of independent and unchanging love. And the devil uses that same trick to trip us up so that we forget this incredible love of the Lord. And so, I'd like to close with an encouragement to every one of us that we make it our primary goal to spend time with the Lord who has spent time with us. This is Psalm 1. Who is the person who is blessed? Again, I'll read the parts in the white print. Please read the part that's in yellow. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Do you and I want to prosper? Of course. Spend time with the Lord, the God who loves you with unchanging and independent love, the God who began the real story of the whole Bible is really all about his love. He begins that story in Genesis chapter 2 saying, I spent time with Adam and Eve, and I have spent the same time with you. And now I invite you to spend time with me so that I can bless you. Now, some of you already are in this marvelous habit of day and night meditating on the word of the Lord in some way. And if that's the case, God be with you. But I know that the devil works really hard to make us get out of that habit. So if you are not in that habit right now, I just invite you, why don't you join with me? I'm reading through the Bible. Email me, I'll add you to the list. And let's grow closer to the Lord together. The Lord loved you enough to spend time on you. Let's make the commitment to understand that love of the Lord by spending time with him. I'd like to close with a confession of faith from Luther's Small Catechism. You see, the first article of the Small Catechism, first article, the explanation, really is all about helping us understand that the Lord who spent time with Adam and Eve has spent that same kind of time with us. So the first article just talks about the creation by God the Father, but then as we read that explanation, Martin Luther helps us realize he's done the same thing for me. So let's confess this faith, our faith together. Please join with me. Let's stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God created me and all that exists, and that he gave me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my mind and all my abilities. And I believe that God still preserves me by richly and daily providing clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, cattle, and all I own, and all I need to keep my body in life. God also preserves me by defending me against all danger, guarding and protecting me from all evil. All this God does only because he is my good and merciful Father in heaven, and not because I have earned or deserved it. For all this I ought to thank and praise, to serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. And let us pray. Lord Jesus, you revealed your love already in Genesis chapter 2 to Adam and Eve. And as we think about the whole expanse of the story of God's love throughout the Bible, we see that we know the Savior's love most, or God's love most clearly in the fact that you were willing to die for us. And so we confess that very often we live shame-filled lives. Sometimes because Satan has just plunged us into horrible sins, things that we can't get out of our heads, out of our minds. And sometimes simply because we look at other people and we just don't measure up. And so, Lord Jesus, in love for us, pour your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that our focus is only on your cross, that you become everything. Work through your word as we read your word, that blessing would come to us day after day after day. And we pray not just for ourselves, but for our friends, our family, and especially the dads. Lord, help them spend time with you so that they know your love, they know your forgiveness, and they can reflect that love of the Father to their children and to the people around them. And now, Lord Jesus, hear us as we pray to your Father as you have taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Join us and sing.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone.
Good Father, to you are, to you are.
guys can be seated.
The benediction that God gave to Aaron to speak to his people 3,500 years ago focuses on that name, Lord, in all capital letters, the God of love. And so it has become the custom in God's church that as we bring worship to that close, that we hear that name pronounced on us, that the Lord who has spent time with us, creating us and forming us, has spent time with us again today and will continue to be with us as we go out into the world. So, see the Savior smile on you as you hear these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. This time I'd like to turn it over to my friend Nate for some closing announcements.
Bridge family, both online and here in house, a pleasure to have you with us to spend time with the Lord who has spent time on us. Let's just give Pastor Pete and the Spirit of God a round of applause of thanksgiving for reminding us of how richly God has invested in us, and let us spend time with the Lord and invest ourselves in him. To remind us of that, just a way to get us connected with family here at St. Paul's and at the Bridge. Coming up a week from today is a young adult online event put on by an Awaken Alive. Mike Wessendorf himself will be facilitating that discussion. 6:30, my slide says, next week. Join us online. Spend time with others to talk about how God wants to invest time in you. Also coming up August 6th and 7th, all of us are invited to be part of the Global Leadership Summit, which will be held on our campus, simulcasted on our campus, coming live to us from Atlanta, Georgia, I believe, is the site again this year. You may not think of yourself as a leader, but a leader of God is someone who influences those around you by how you live. The Global Leadership Summit is an awesome opportunity to spend time in the Word, rethinking how you lead. You can also connect, as Pastor Pete mentioned in his sermon, with the small group connection. He can connect you with the small group for Bible study and Christian conversation and prayer. So check that out and email him at ppanitsky@stpmuskego.org. Also, if you want to invest time in your God through the Following the Promise class, which is a great way to review all that God teaches to us about himself and about ourselves and our journey home to heaven, feel free to check out the information or email me at nstrobel@stpmuskego.org. The class is now completely online. It's vacation-proof. You simply watch videos if you miss a class. Also, if you need to talk, connect with one of us pastors here at St. Paul's. Just call the office number on the screen, and you can leave a voicemail for us. It comes automatically to us as an email to connect with you. And now the band will send us home with our last song on the screen, You Are Holy, the Prince of Peace. We'll throw it back to Mike.
Well, and as we close, we did this one online, kind of trying to, it's an old song. I remember back in the Point of Grace campus ministry days when I first kind of became aware of it. And I love it because it's a call and an answer. And that's why we did it online, because we were trying to create some space so that for those of you who are online, I can sing You Are Holy, and you can sing out You Are Holy, and it was great. But it's even more fun when you actually have a chance to be able to sing this song of praise in God's house with other people. So we're going to finish our time together with this song of praise. It's just really, again, You Are Holy. We're talking to God, and then we're encouraging one another. And the refrain of this part, this piece, if you will, I want you to join in with me. But otherwise, I'm going to call, you're going to echo, and if you can clap and sing and follow all that stuff too, you're an all-star, and we wanted to recruit you into the band. So, but we begin, or we close our time together with a song called You Are Holy. Let's stand, and we'll sing.
Oh,
Bible passage for this one beyond the end. Here we go. One, two, three. May God be with you guys. We are going to be taking all of this down today. It's Father's Day. If you have an extra 10, 15 minutes that you can help our takedown team take it down for the first time in like 4 months, stick around. It would be grateful to have you here. And we are looking for more volunteers as we continue to bring all of this to you. For those of you online, thank you for being with us. The band will play you guys out. We'll see you again next week.